Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 18. Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 18. This is God's Word. Once, when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "The Christ of God." Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone, and he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Then he said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. I tell you the truth. Some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. The first question that we need to deal with in this passage is the question that Jesus asked. Who do you say that I am? Who is Jesus? What do you believe about who Jesus is? I've asked that question of many people over the years, and I've gotten some interesting answers. But I want you to note two things that we talk about often. First of all, there are certain essential things you need to know about Jesus. Okay? He is God incarnate. He's not almost God, a lot like God, close to God. He is God come in the flesh, God in human form. He is also man, fully man. Not just looking like a man, he is a man. Jesus is God. Jesus is fully human. That is the miracle of the incarnation. You need to know that, or you don't know the basics. But you also need to know that he came here and became a man in order to offer that perfect human life as the sacrifice for our sins. Because all of us have sinned, and our sin separates us from God, and the only way that we can be reconciled to God is through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now, you need to know that he not only died on the cross to pay for our sins, but that he conquered death as promised, and as he speaks of here, He had to rise again on the third day, and he did. And the evidence for that is absolutely overwhelming. But that brings us to the other thing. If you believe that Jesus is God and that Jesus is man and that he came here to offer his life as the sacrifice for our sins and he died on the cross to do that and he rose again from the dead on the third day as conqueror over death, if you believe all of that, it doesn't get you into heaven. You know who else believes that? The devil. He knows it's true. It is not enough to have an intellectual belief in these essential truths. In order to be saved, you have to know him, not just know about him. I can know a lot about Martin Luther or George Washington or Robert E. Lee or Abraham Lincoln or whomever, but I don't know them. I know Jesus. It's a relational kind of faith. How is that possible? Jesus lived such a long time ago. Yeah, but remember the part about he conquered death? He is alive right now. And you can not just learn about him, you can enter into a relationship with him where you put your trust in him. And he guides and directs you and provides what you need. You have a relationship with the living Lord Jesus. And that is what I long for and pray for each of you. If somebody tried to convince me that Jesus isn't real, there's no way. Because not only is the evidence historically overwhelming, but I know him. You couldn't convince me that my wife doesn't exist. You couldn't convince me that my children are just figments of my imagination. I know them. We have a relationship. Do you know Jesus? Jesus said, "Who do you say I am?" And when they answered, he says, "Okay, this is not the time to be spreading that around." You read the other Gospels, he answers in fuller detail in them. He said to Simon or to Peter, "You are blessed because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." The reason that someone comes to know Jesus is because of the grace of God opening their eyes to see the truth.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So Jesus tells them that he's on his way to the cross. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. That was a hard thing for them to hear, hard thing for them to accept. But then he goes on and he says to these guys who are following him, if anyone really wants to follow me, if anyone would be my disciple, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. I want you to notice three words in that statement of Jesus. This is the cost of discipleship. First of all, he says, if anyone would come after me. He's not just saying, you know, some of those who come after me are going to have to do this. Anyone who would come after Jesus, this is the cost. He must, that's the second word. Anyone, next word, must. It's not maybe, would be helpful if, it's essential. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The cross was not a piece of jewelry, and it was not a publicity stunt. The cross was a means of execution. Deny himself, Jesus says. You got to say no to the hardest person to say no to. I don't like to say no to my kids. But you know what? The hardest person for me to say no to is me. It's not my wife. I don't like to say no to my wife, but I really don't like to say no to me. If I want something, I am still a genius at figuring out a justification. Coming up with a rationalization as to why this really would be best for everyone. Okay? Because if I want something, it just seems like the right thing. And yet how many times have I given myself what I wanted only to regret it later? Can anybody else relate to that? Jesus says, if you're going to be his follower, you've got to learn to deny yourself, to say no to yourself, to take up your cross. That means dying to self, saying no to sinful desires, and follow him. That's the only way that discipleship is real. And then he says something amazing. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. He's saying you got to lay down your life. Oh, I don't want to do that. Well, if you don't want to do that, you're going to lose your life. What? Yeah, you're going to die either way. You can die because you are denying yourself, putting your flesh to death, as it were. Or you can deny because you're throwing your life away on stupid, sinful decisions. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for me, Jesus says, will save it. So the way to have real life is to deny yourself and follow Jesus. The folks who don't, the folks who say, no, I'm going to take care of myself. I got to look out for number one. After all, who else is going to look after me? I got to make sure that I get what I want. It doesn't end well, ever. This is another one of those binary choices. It's either this or it's this. You either follow Jesus in the way of the cross or you throw your life away.
It's my life. If I want to throw it away, I ought to be able to do what I want.
God gives you the opportunity to destroy yourself through a few major bad decisions, or more likely, through a whole long series of bad decisions. But then Jesus says something else. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit his very self? Most translations get it better than the NIV right here, because they include a familiar word that was used in the old King James. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? That's our main point for today. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? I have some currency up here on the pulpit. I put it up here just before the service. I'm trying to think who to call up here. Come up here, Justine. Justine, what is this?
A dollar.
It's a what?
A dollar.
How many dollars is it? This one. It's one. How can you tell?
Because it says it.
Oh, okay. It says $1 on it, okay? And that's United States of America, isn't it? All right. Now, this thing, can you tell what it is?
Euro.
It's a euro. How many euros is it?
One.
1 euro. Which of these is worth more, this coin or this dollar bill? Which, I'm sorry, the euro is worth more. As of this morning, it is worth one U.S. dollar plus four U.S. pennies. Okay? When we were over in Italy not long ago, the exchange rate was even worse for Americans. Okay? So, $1, 1 euro, which is worth more than a dollar. Okay. What is this?
$2.
$2. This is not counterfeit. This is not a joke. This is a real $2 bill. Okay? If you get one of these, some of them are worth more than $2. But we're going to say that this one's just worth the face value. So which would you say is worth more, the $1 bill or the $2 bill, Justine?
The $2.
$2. Smart girl. All right. So the $2 bill is worth more. If this is worth $1.04, which one is worth more, the 1 euro or the $2 bill?
$2.
$2 bill is worth more. Very good. All right. Now, this is what?
2 euros.
2 euros. Okay. So which is worth more, the $2 or the 2 euros?
2 euros.
2 euros is worth more. We're moving on up. What is this, Justine?
$10.
Okay, this is worth, would you say this is worth more than all of this put together? It is, isn't it? Okay, what is this?
$20.
$20, she can tell because it says that right on there. Okay, $20. And what about this?
$50.
$50. Which is worth more, 20 or 50?
50.
50 is worth more. What does this one say?
$100 trillion.
$100 trillion. It really is. $100 trillion. It was printed in 2008. It's from Zimbabwe. Okay. Now that brings us. Thank you. You can actually go back down. I'm not going to ask her which is worth more, $100 trillion from Zimbabwe in 2008. Or all of this currency here. Because, you know, I don't know, you'd have to know a little bit about history and currency exchange rates and all that. The day that this was printed, it was worth $27 and some cents back in 2008. The day after it was printed, it was worth $2.70. In one day. $100 trillion from the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe went from $27 U.S. to $2.70 U.S. It's called hyperinflation. It's a tragic thing when governments make their currency worthless. Now, we said there's a difference between the value of the euro and the value of U.S. currency. All of this currency, including the paper from Zimbabwe, all of that currency, the value is tied to who backs it up, who stands behind it. Jesus says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Well, I don't know. I mean, one person getting the whole world? You know, kind of seems like the world is worth a lot. I mean, what if I could sell my soul to the devil, but for the next, 10 months or 10 years, whatever, I'm going to be the richest, most powerful person in the world. Okay? I will have enough money to buy anything I want, anytime I want, even if people don't want to sell. I can make it happen, and if they insist they're not going to sell, I can pay to have them taken out. Okay? Because I'm king of the world. Would it be worth it? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because, see, God says your eternal being is worth more than all the stuff of this world. What would you sell out for? You know what God says. You know what's right. But the devil always comes and says to us what he said to Jesus. You'll bow down to me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. You can be the boss. You can be your own God. You can have it your way. Do your own thing. Jesus says, what does it profit if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? Because your soul is more valuable than all the kingdoms of this world. That's pretty astounding. Why would God put that kind of value on me? Is it just because I'm so special? Okay? No, because he says that about all of us. Jesus came into this world to save people like us. God, the Creator, became a man so that we could be redeemed. He gave his life to save us. There's not anything God could have possibly done in order to place a greater value on you. He values you. Don't throw your life away. Don't be a fool. God loves people.
Well, maybe some people, but I don't think he'd love me if he really knew some of the stuff I've done.
He knows everything. He knows how many hairs are on top of your head. How could he love me? I don't understand, but he does. He does. And so he calls us to recognize who he is, put our trust in him, and then take up our cross and follow him. That's the call on us. God is the one who gives us our worth. He's the one who says, I love you. Believe the good news. Trust in him. Trust his love. Because all this stuff is going to go away. Who do you say Jesus is? Will you trust him?
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.